Parshas Nitzavim. We have this week Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech together. We will focus our learning tonight mostly on Parshas Nitzavim. And an idea which comes across very much in this Parsha, which perhaps can help us to be mashlim, to complete our discussion of the past several weeks of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We've been trying to explore, some of you were here, some of you weren't here, it's not in any which way essential for tonight, but we were exploring the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is the pasuk which we use for Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim, for accepting upon ourselves Hashem as King, the yoke, so to speak, of Hashem's kingdom. That's the way we fulfill that mitzvah every day of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim, through saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the day of Shetamlichuni Aleichem, of making Hashem our King. And in the Gemara, there's brought an opinion, which is what we do lahalacha, which we do actually, is that of the verses, when we say the 10 verses of Malchus, of Kingdom, in the Shemone Esrei of Musaf, the Amidah of Musaf, of Rosh Hashanah, the 10th verse to speak of Hashem's kingdom is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Even though, unlike all the other verses, it doesn't say the word Melech. It doesn't say the word King. But it's the declaration of Hashem's kingdom. And so we've been exploring it through the last few weeks. Different aspects of it. How they connect very much to what we're about in Rosh Hashanah, to the din of Rosh Hashanah. And tonight we will explore another angle of it in the context of this week's parsha. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, after the bris, the covenant which Moshe Rabbeinu declared last week, the olois ushvuois, which are an ingredient of the bris of the covenant, that say, you know, if you follow the ways of Hashem, then you have the positive, otherwise, heaven forbid, different. So Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Jewish people together to introduce them to the bris. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, to bring you into the covenant of Hashem that He's making with you today. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about it. He speaks about the fact that the covenant is not just for them, it's a covenant for the generations. But then, he says what specifically he's after in this bris. Ki atem yodatem es asher yashavnu be'eretz Mitzrayim asher ve'es asher avarnu bekerav hagoyim asher avartem. You know how we lived in Mitzrayim and you had interactions with them. You know the other nations that we have passed through and you have had interactions with them. Vatiru et shukutseim v'eskiluleim. You saw their objects of worship. Penyesh bochem, lest there be amongst you isha isha, a man or woman, asher a mishpacha, a shevet, or a family, or a tribe, asher levavai peine hayoy meim Hashem alaykeinu, that his heart is turning today away from Hashem our God, oleches la'avodes elohei hagoyim ahem, to go and worship these other gods. Pen yesh bachem sheiresh, peyre resh v'lag, lest there be in you a root that can end up growing and developing very negative and bitter, poisonous plants. When he will hear the words of this covenant that I'm saying, but he has this thought in his heart, and he will, so to speak, bless himself in his heart, saying, "Shalom yili, I will be okay. Agzunt af mir, ki b'shuras libi elech, I will do with what my heart wants," and so on. So he says to himself, "Here we are. We're standing together, the entire Jewish people." Moshe is reading to us the Riot Act, right? He's telling us the bris. He's telling us all the promises, and heaven forbid the flip side. And this person is there. He's standing there along with everybody else. He's accepting, in a certain sense, the covenant along with everybody else. But in his heart, he's not there. He's Baruch B'Vavei Lemar. In his heart, he's thinking about those other things, the Avodah Zarah. He doesn't want to make a break right now. But that's what he's feeling. And the words which Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, he's saying, it's not going to affect me. So he's there, He's not doing something openly at this point in time, but in his heart, he's far away. So the pasuk says, "Lo yove Hashem siloach lo, Hashem will not have any interest in forgiving him, because yesh anaf Hashem v'kinasei v'yishahu. Hashem's anger will be furious against that person and his zealousness. Umoch Hashem Hashmai mitachas Hashemai. Hashem will erase any trace of him from beneath the heavens, and so on. He'll be isolated from everybody else for this action." Later in the parsha, Rashi says, "Look, you know, it's hirhurei hayochid. It's the individual thoughts of one person. Yes, for the individual thoughts of one person, okay, maybe for that it won't public punish the community. But we're dealing here, not even necessarily with the ma'aseh hayochid, but we're dealing with hirhurei hayochid. We're dealing with the thoughts which the person has in their heart. That's what we're speaking about. A person who outwardly accepts, but not inwardly. That's what this parsha speaks of." And goes on to describe the consequences. So the pasuk is placing here a very tall order. The Ramban, in a strong passage, when he says, "Peniyesh b'chem," when the pasuk says, "Lest there is amongst you shayresh peyresh v'lana," there's a root that can produce something very bitter, something very negative. Says the Ramban, strong words, we're talking about an individual. Why? Because really, if it was the community would isolate themselves. Right? However, an individual, mipnei pachad harov, because of peer pressure, because of the fear of everybody else is doing it, that person isn't going to dare to act out. But in their heart, they may be believing in something else. And so writes the Ramban, "Peniyesh b'chem shayresh peyrera, shayresh ra sheyifrach v'yishke," right, or yiske, a bad root that will blossom and grow, "uv'yom ha'boim yetzi prochim rabin v'yatzmiach mereres," eventually it will produce negative flowers, negative plants. This is what we're speaking about. "Ki ha'ov shayresh v'ha'ben neitzer misharoshav yifrach," because the father, the parent is the root, and the child comes forth from that. And so he says, "Kol asher levavei sholem mashem anichbad lehira klal bavei zor lo yelid maydeba." A person whose heart is complete with Hashem, and even in their heart there's not a trace of avei zor, so they will not have a child that will end up serving avei zor. Writes the Ramban, the emphasis here is, again, he's explaining, speaking out the verse. The emphasis is on the person's heart being at odds with what he himself is saying, with the posture which he's taking outwardly is not reflecting that which is going on inside him inwardly. This idea, and that's the Shayresh Parresh Velana, that's the idea that will come forth, that will express itself ultimately in things which will be expressed negatively, even if it's suppressed for a while. So it's so important, the pasuk is saying, to reconcile and to make it that the heart is together with the pen, together with the mouth. This idea continues in the parsha. Why? Because when it describes tshuva, listen to what it says. It will be when all of these difficulties befall you, right? The difficulties which come as a result of that, what we spoke about before. Vashevaisa el levavecha, you will take it to your heart. And the nations where you find yourself, you'll go back to Hashem. You'll return to Hashem with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And Hashem will bring you back, and so on and so forth. And Hashem will bring you to the land. Umol Hashem alekecha es levavcha v'es levav zarecha. And Hashem will uncover your heart and the heart of your children to love Hashem and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, aman chayecha, and so on. So what is it saying? There is such an emphasis, again, and one more time, it says at the end of that parsha, The necessity is that it has to be taken to heart. Because if the root of everything which we're talking about here is not necessarily that the outer words or the outer actions were problematic, but the problem was in the heart of the person, that liboy chaluk al hamakom, that his heart wasn't with it, so then the definition of the tshuva is b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. It's with the heart, with the soul. It's to the essence. It goes to the core of the person. The promise of tshuva is umal Hashem aleikecha es levavcha v'yes levav zarecha. You know, that's one of the traditions that Elul stands for es levavcha v'yes levav zarecha. Your hearts and the hearts of your children. Es aleph levavcha lamed v'es vav levav. The hearts. Your heart and the hearts of your children. To be uncovered. That's the tshuva. We use that pasuk in Slichas. If you remember, recognize it from the Slichas or Shani Pialtan. What do we want? We need the heart to be uncovered. Ulevavai yavin v'shavu rafala. His heart will understand and then he does the tshuva. The key here, the failure isn't in the action. The failure is in the lave. And therefore the tshuva has to be defined as being effectively in the lave, that the heart is uncovered to be able to do it. I would just say to you, a vort, a vertel, you know, sort of to close out the Ramban that we said before, where the Ramban says the person has the problem in their heart, so it expresses itself in the child that goes serves Avodah Zarah. So you understand that the Pasuk says, and that's what we take as the Rosh Tevez of Elul, not, you would have said, maybe you would have something like, Umol Hashem Alekecha Es Levavcha, that would be nice, and Hashem will uncover your heart. But what it says is, like the emphasis is on your heart and the hearts of. Your heart and the hearts of your children. Because we understand that if, this is the way we're saying it, that the more we get it to our core, to our essence, the more we take it from it just being a superficial behavior and we make it more our essence, so then it becomes genetic. Then it gets carried forward to the next. That's the pshat. That it says by Avram Avinu, who was promised that he would have descendants, it says, Matasa es levavoi neman lefanecha. He found your heart, we say every day in the davening, he found your heart, he found his heart, the heart of Avram, to be faithful before Hashem. Because his heart was so pure and complete with Hashem. It wasn't anything just external, it was internal. And therefore, he was meriting the bris of Zaracha Acharecha, of that continuity. But however you slice it, whatever you read here, the emphasis on the failure of the heart is at the core of it. And perhaps this is expressed even most clearly in a famous pasuk in the another pasuk in the continuation of the parsha. I'm trying to emphasize that this is what the parsha is talking about, okay? So we're still there. This is all that it's going to be about. Okay, the levavcha. We'll try to get to the depths of it, but right now, I'm trying to demonstrate the pasuk. The mitzvah that I'm giving you today, it's not distance from you, it's not far away, it's not in the heavens, saying who can get it from me from the heavens, it's not overseas, say who can get it from me from overseas, right? And tell it to me and I will know it. And we will hear it and we will do it. It's very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart to do. This pasuk, this paragraph, is a famous paragraph. There's machlokas rishonim. Is it referring to Torah generally? Torah is not in the heavens. Torah was already given at Sinai. So we don't take cues from the heavens anymore. We try to figure things out according to what we've been given. All of that. But many rishonim understand that this is referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. And the Ramban writes, for instance, it's referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is not far away. Tshuva is close to you. And it's beficha v'levavcha la'asaisa, says the Ramban. What's the idea? Beficha is the vidui, writes the Ramban. She is vadu es havayna. Beficha is the vidui, the oral confession and prayer to Hashem for tshuva. And the v'levavcha is Yeshua v'lida mel Hashem, an undertaking of the heart. Beficha v'levavcha la'asaisa. It's referring to tshuva. Tshuva has two components. The oral component and the cardiac component, the heart component, the commitment component. Those two parts. That's what the pasuk refers to, b'ficha v'vav chalas, I say. And that's the way he reads the pshat in the parsha. You see, there's the two parts. But what I would suggest is, in the Ramban, just taking it a step deeper than the way he explicitly says it, but what is certainly included in here is, because this is the hashlama, this is the completion of this whole parsha. It's all one parsha of tshuva. Right? When we're talking about the Jewish people doing tshuva in parshas Nitzavim, it's as a result of the difficulties which befall the Jewish people. And the difficulties befall the Jewish people, why? Because originally when we said it, maybe we were only saying it, but we weren't feeling it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so now you're going to do tshuva, you're going to come back. And you know what it is? It's b'ficha u'bilvavcha. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's not enough for it to be in your mouth. It has to be in your mouth. You accept the covenant. You do the tshuva. You apologize. U'bilvavcha. And in your heart. The Rambam writes, when the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva about the process of tshuva, and he speaks about the idea of vidui, he writes as follows. Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Umayi Atshuva. What's tshuva? Hushiyazev achaytei chetzai v'yasuru mimachshavtei. Person stops doing the sin, leaves the sin, even removes it from his thoughts. V'yigmar b'libay shalei aseiwai. And he makes a commitment in his heart not to do it again. V'chein yisnachem al shavar. And he regrets the past. V'yoyed alav yodea talumay shalei yoshav zachet lo'ilam. And the Rabban shall be able to testify that he really means it. And then there's vidui. You know what vidui is? Say what you feel. Speak out these things that you have already decided in your heart. The mitzvah of tshuva is to have a change of heart, as we say. And we complete the process by vidui, which is to speak it out, to tell it to Hashem. To speak it out. To take what's in the heart and say it. B'ficha u'bilvavcha la'asaisai. That's the exact opposite of the person who's saying, I'm going to do it, but then, b'sparach b'lvavai, in their heart they don't feel it. And you know, it's one of the al-chait that we say on Yom Kippur. Al-chait shechatanu lefanecha b'vidui peh. The sin that we make before you of vidui, of confession. What's the sin of confession? And confession is how you recoup sin. The vidui peh. Confession that is just made by the mouth. You know? Okay, say sorry to your sister. Sorry. You know? That's vidui peh. You don't feel it. The child doesn't feel it. They just said it. That's a chet. It's a chet to say it if you don't feel it. A chet called vidui peh. Says the Rambam, the order of tshuva is feel it and then say it. Huh. Tavor. B'ficha v'lavcha. There's an expression that we have, an expression which Chazal use in many places. It's an expression which speaks of the notion of deceit, interpersonally, or insincerity, even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the expression is, Echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. Echad b'peh, one thing in the mouth, v'echad b'lev, and another thing in the heart. Rashi brings it, by the way, in an interesting context. By the brothers of Yosef, it says, the brothers hated him, they were jealous of him, and they couldn't speak to him peacefully. Says Rashi, oh, you know, even in all this negativity, we're told a positive thing. They didn't pretend. Right? They didn't speak to him peacefully when they felt to him terrible animosity. There's a quality of shloyidaber echad bepeh v'echad b'lev. He shouldn't speak one thing in his mouth and something else in his heart. But it's supposed to be the converse expression, which the Gemara says is Piv v'libo shavim. The mouth and the heart are even, equal, on the same page. Piv v'libo shavim. that equation between the mouth and the heart, between the external, between the action, the outer commitment, and the inner commitment, is a constant struggle for us. You know? Right? It's easier, it would seem, to do things on the outside than it is to feel them with total and complete conviction on the inside. It's difficult for all of us. However, evidently, this is essential to our avoda of this time. In this parsha, how it teaches us in general about what it means to enter the covenant, the bris, which is what we do on Rosh Hashanah in the greatest sense. We are reenacting this bris. That's why this bris is read for us before Rosh Hashanah. Acceptance can't just be oral. It has to be in the heart. The definition of tshuva, it can't just be oral. Of course, it has to be in the heart. So this is our target, to make the peh and the lev even, shoving together, the two of them. And this is one of the significant avodos of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos, when it discusses the laws of Kriyat Shema, and it begins the second parak, it speaks about a person who was reading from the Torah, and it comes time for Kriyat Shema, and he happens to be reading from there, so he has to have Kavana. It doesn't have Kavana. Kavana to the mitzvah. So the Gemara gets into a discussion about the Kavana, the focus on the words, which is necessary. Not the focus on fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is a focus for itself, but the focus on what you're saying. The focus on what you're saying. It says in the parsha of Kriyat Shema that these words should be al levavecha, upon your heart. Yochol tekol ha-parsha tzricha kavana. So I would think the whole parsha should require kavana. It should require focus and direction. Why? Because it says they should be on your heart. And without kavana, it's not on your heart, it's on your lips. Talmud loimar ho'eile. Ad kan tzricha kavana. Mikan ve'elechein tzricha kavana. You know how far you have to get up to with kavana? You have to get up to v'hayu advarim ha'ela. But that's it. These words. Up to now. The rest of the parsha, the tefillin, you don't have to think about what that means. Just say it. But till now, it requires kavana. Kriyat Shema requires kavana. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Asher anechim etzav chayayim. But I'm commanding you today. Right? So that means it's not just what I said until now. It's everything I'm commanding you today. So the whole paragraph requires kavana. Rabbi Rachana said, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara brings other opinions. Perek Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara goes on, and it says, well, on the one hand we have the Pasuk which says, V'dibartavon, speak in them, which is only speaking without speaking. And then on the other hand you have Alevavecha. So somehow you find some of it is the mitzvah of Kriya, some of it is the mitzvah just to read, some of it is the mitzvah to feel as well. In the end, Tanu Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ad kan tzricha kavanas halev. You hear Rabbi Meir. He says the pasuk that requires kavanah, the requirement of kavanah for Shema is just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's the halacha. That's the halacha. Of course, you should have kavanah for everything that you can have kavanah for. But it's critical to have kavana just for the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rava says, halacha ki Rabbi Meir. That the halacha is indeed like Rabbi Meir. Writes the Rabbeinu Yonah, afal pi shayanira, the kavana salev tzricha ad vahiyu ad varam ha'ele, kshiyaskir kavana salev, even though before there was a compelling case made that you should have to have kavana at least until you say, and these words should be on your heart. Right? How can you say that without thinking? Rameir doesn't hold this way. Why? Because he says, the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael. That verse. Now what does Shema mean? It doesn't just mean listen with your ears. It's like, Haskesu Shema. Kaben belibecha. Shema means to understand. Bahaskes. With an intensity. So that's what he darshes it. That's the Pasuk that requires kavana. I would like to suggest to you that perhaps there's another aspect to it, which is Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. The notion that we speak of when we say, don't say it one way and feel it someplace else, is where you yourself are divided. Where you yourself are split. You have this and you have that. You want this way, you want that way. You're drawn in different directions. Hashem Echad, the declaration of Hashem Echad, necessarily requires the resolution of inner contradictions. Let's look at it from another angle, a familiar angle. The pasuk says, you should serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, with all of your heart. It doesn't say b'chol libcha. It says b'chol levavcha. Chazal famously note that when it says with all of your heart, it's like almost saying with all of your hearts. What's b'chol levavcha? Why is it expressed that way? So the classic drasha, the famous, more famous one is b'shnei yitzrecha, with both of your inclinations, with the positive inclination, with the negative inclination. But davar acher, another pshat brings Rashi, b'chol levavcha shlayia l'b'chol kalamokay. Your heart should not be, so to speak, divided from Hashem. Even in your heart needs to be reconciled with Him. It needs to be completely there. B'chol levavcha means with both of your inclinations, the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. What does that mean? What does that mean? The idea is that a person is generally can be pulled in two different directions. Right? The other night we were talking about the yeter, that the yeter isn't simply an inclination. Inclination is, you know, basically, you know, you have something on an angle and it slips down. A yeter pushes you, it pulls you, it drives you. It's not just a tipping thing. So b'chol levavcha, when the pasuk says b'chol levavcha, it's because we are pulled in different directions. There's a yeter tov that draws us and drives us to do fantastic, wonderful things, higher things. And there's a Yetzirah that drives us to new negative things. We're in different directions. To say Hashem is the one and only necessarily requires us to streamline everything in one direction. Otherwise, it's not Hashem Echad. It's not Hashem Echad. That means, you know what, then it's a new translation of Hashem Echad, which is Hashem is just one thing, which is not what Hashem Echad means. Hashem Echad means Hashem is the one and only. So therefore, how can I have want Hashem's things, but I also want other things. It's not possible. Right? So as we talked about a few weeks ago, you bring it together, all directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's all part of this idea of Echad. There's a beautiful Maral, which was explained by Rav Huttner. I said it over to some of you before. Beautiful Maral. There's a famous story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's death. Rabbi Akiva was being taken out, and they were torturously killing him. And he was reading the Shema. And his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Ad Kan, to this point, when Rabbi Akiva said to them, Kol Yomai, all my days, I would read this pasuk. You should love Hashem with all of your soul, b'chol nafshecha. And I translated and I said, what that means with all of your soul means, afilu neitel es nafshecha, even if it's going to take your life. You're ready to give your life for Hashem. And I was mitzdayer. I struggled. I was in pain from this. I said, when will I have a chance to do this? When will I have a chance to actually show Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem? I'm ready to give my life for it. He says, boys, now's my chance. I'm not going to miss this one. So I'm here, I'm saying Shema. I'm showing, I'm giving myself over to Hashem completely. Concludes the Gemara. Till his heart left him when he said, Echad Hashem. That's the Gemara. Everybody heard the story. Ask the Maral a beautiful, simple kasha. And again, I apologize to those of you who have heard from me before, or from anybody. The Maral asked a simple kasha. He says, you know, the Gemara had such a chance to have such a great ending. And it didn't, it missed the perfect ending. You know what would have been the perfect ending? His soul left him when he said, "B'chol nafshecha." Wouldn't that have been perfect? His soul left him when he said, "With all your soul." But I don't know how it happened. Right? That would happen. His soul leaves him when he says, "Hashem Echad."
Right? He didn't get up to the punchline yet. Good kasha? Right? Go with a nicer ending. Explain the Maral, Putner explains, you know, expands on it beautifully. He says, you have to understand that when we say you should love Hashem with all your heart, and you should love Hashem with all your soul, and you should love Hashem with all your resources, you know what that's just doing? That's saying Hashem Achot. In fact, the way Rav Huttner explains it, right, we're saying Hashem is the one and only. You know, if Hashem isn't the one and only, then okay, there are certain things which I do for Hashem, and there are certain things I do for myself. If Hashem isn't the one and only, then I say, come on, you know, he's going to take away my life. You know, I love Hashem and everything, and I like to go to shul, and I like to learn, but, you know, if it means, right, I'm ready to give up your life. When you're ready to give everything, you know what you're saying? You're saying he's the only thing that counts. So you're ready to give it all. That's Hashem Echad. And Rav Huttner explained it, and he added, and he said this beautiful nakuda. He says, you know, we have a mitzvah called V'halachta B'drachav. You're supposed to be like Hashem. You're supposed to walk in His ways. Just He's merciful. You should be merciful. Just He is this. You should be this. So he says, Hashem is one. So you're supposed to be one. When Hashem is one, it doesn't mean there's nobody like Hashem. That's one meaning of Hashem being one. Right? Nobody can compete with Hashem. Nobody can argue with Hashem. But there's also the fact that Hashem is internally completely unified. Right? Like we talked about last week, you know, between the good stuff and the bad stuff. It's not, you don't divide Hashem between His actions. Hashem is completely unified. There's no dissonance within Hashem. A human being is also supposed to be completely unified. And says Rav Huttner, that's the way the Parsha of Kriyat Shema works. The first line is saying Hashem is one. And then when you say, and you shall love Hashem all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your resources, you're saying that's the way you're going to make yourself one. That's the way you make yourself one. Where everything is together. That's Hashem Echad. And Hashem Echad, in the sense that we're talking about here tonight, is for a person to make themselves one like Hashem is one. Is to say, I'm not just saying something and feeling something else. That's the ultimate internal division between the external actions and the internal insights. You know, there's one kind of internal division is where I like to do good things, but I also like, you know, there are other things that I like to. You know, so you're caught between different desires and different directions. No, you can be honest about that. You can be honest about that. We all could be honest about that. It's true. We're pulled. We like to do this. We get a satisfaction from this. We get a satisfaction from that. So maybe there's an avoda we can rise and stream like that. But the far more disturbing division that exists in a person is where they are not even themselves. Where they say one thing and they mean something else. So Hevei Omer, one could say that when Rabbi Meir says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's what requires kavana. It's because kavana is piv v'libo shavim, that the mouth and the heart are the same. That's what it means kavana. And for that phrase, Hashem Echad, by definition, you have to have kavana. It's true. There's a word Shema at the beginning, like Rabbeinu Yonah points out, but there's a word Echad at the end. And the word echad means that it's not something I pay lip service to, but don't feel, by definition, that's a failure of saying Hashem Echad. You can't say Hashem Echad and not think it. It doesn't make any sense. It's an internal contradiction. You could read an instruction about, okay, the words should be on your heart, you should put them on your doorpost and so on and so forth. Believe it, you don't believe it, you can say it, it's real. How can you say Hashem is one when your heart is someplace else? It doesn't clap, as they say in Yiddish. It just doesn't work. That's what Meir says. I don't need any other pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That you have to do with kavanas alev. The avoda of that kavod samach l'shamayim The reason why, to some degree, one can say we close our eyes, besides for the fact that the simple meaning of the Shulchan Aruch says we cover our eyes so that we're not distracted, so we can have kavana. This is the pasuk, we have to have kavana, so we cover our eyes when we say it. But part of it, you know, we sense also is that we're trying to get here beneath the layer of the superficial of what we see. It's not just what you see. What you see is everybody's there and they're saying, yes, 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 we accept the covenant. Forget the appearances. When you close your eyes, right, all you can focus on is, okay, what's really going on inside? And that's the Beficha Levavcha. That avoda is the avoda of sincerity. It's the avoda of true feeling. And it's the avoda of tshuva. It's the avoda we talk about here. It's the source for Torah, for bringing forth beautiful things. Levavcha v'yes levav zarecha. That shouldn't just be superficial, but it should be internal, outside and inside. Baruch atu Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvarei. V'lo pashut. It's not simple. There's a beautiful pirush. I am trying to remember where it's written, but it's not like a late modern or Hasidic Shabbat. I don't remember anymore where, but it's a very, very early source. It says in Kriya Shema, "Vayu advar ma'el asher anechi mitzavach hayayim." These words I'm commanding you today should be al levavecha, on your heart. On your heart. What does that mean, on your heart? It says you should love Hashem b'chol levavecha, with all of your heart. Right? In the parsha that I read to you, you'll serve Hashem with all of your heart, in all of your heart, in all of your soul. On your heart. These words should be upon your heart. Plus metos, what does that even mean? On your heart. So it's written as follows. A person's heart isn't always open. Not always open. We need sometimes umol Hashem alekechas levavcha. We need Hashem to uncover our heart, to open it up. So what the pasuk is saying is, you're supposed to love Hashem in your heart. Do you? Maybe you do, but maybe you don't yet. So v'hayu advar ma'ela. What I'm telling you today, place it on your heart. If it's sitting on your heart, as soon as your heart opens, it'll plop in. Okay, now that sounds cute, right? Put it right there, it'll be there when it'll pop in. But the idea there is not cute. The idea there is real. We wait for a breakthrough moment. Sometimes, yeah, the heart is hard. Right? The Lev Evan, it doesn't necessarily absorb everything which we're thinking or which we want to believe. Right? But we want it to go in. So we have to position things right. That they'll be there, that they'll be ready. Surround ourselves. There's two ways that a person could say one thing in their mouth and another thing in their heart. There's one way that a person could say one thing in their mouth and they're fooling. And they're deliberately fooling. Right? This guy is there, he's standing with the rest of the Jews. He says, look, I'm not going to fight with them. But I'm not into this. The jaundice. Echad bepev, echad belev. Oh yeah, sure I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's the jaundice. Echad bepev, echad belev. The vidui peh. The vidui with the mouth is that the person says, oh, shamnu bagano gazamu, I stole. And yeah, how am I going to pull off the next, shyster campaign? You know, what am I going to do next? That's vidui peh. It's where you don't mean it. But there's another kind, which is that you know that perhaps your heart isn't quite there yet. It's not quite there yet. But you want it. Right? The person who does tshuva on Yom Kippur and says, I stole. Right? I stole. I know it's the wrong thing. I got into this pattern, whatever it is, the way I get paid, it's like under the table and so on and so forth, and I you know, it's so hard for me to tell the boss that it's the wrong thing to do and to change and everything else. You know, so I want it. I feel bad. I want it. Am I sure that I'm not going to do it ever again? I don't know yet. You should be sure, right? But you know, you want, you mean it. Is every bit of regret there yet? No, you say, Lashon Hara, right? And Lashon Hara. So look, you know, do I feel as bad as I should feel? I don't feel as bad as I should feel, but I know I don't feel as bad as I should feel. That's not a matter of insincerity. It's a matter of a work in progress. That's what it means in Shema when it says, it's true. You're still divided. Because you don't feel the values 100%. But the step before, when you're trying, is you're setting things up so that when it will be possible, when the breakthrough moment will come, it'll slide right in and fill up the hearts. It'll go from Alevavecha to Bilevavecha. That's our first step. That's our first step of the tshuva. But the ikar, the main thing that we want to really bring home here, is this as the focal point, the ultimate goal, the significance of Bilevavecha, the significance of it being in your heart. It's not going to be complete without it. The entire negative repercussions that are spoken about over here is when that part is missing. Arguably, that's even the pshat in that enigmatic pasuk in the end of the Teichacha of last week, where it says that all of these things will come upon you. Why? Tachas asher le'avadetes Hashem alekecha b'simcha v'tuv leva mirayv kai. Remember that? Why did it come to you? Because you didn't serve Hashem your God with joy and a good heart with everything that you had. So it says, right? The Rambam reads the pasuk. It doesn't say because you didn't serve Hashem. You did. But you didn't do it with joy. Right? Just for that. What's that? Because it's b'ficha, not b'lvavcha. Right? It's not in your heart. Right? If it's in your heart, then it expresses itself in an enthusiasm and a vitality about what it is that you're doing, that we are doing. The lev is critical to this. And that's why the definition of the tshuva is mol Hashem lekechas levavcha, to get our hearts into it. And that's echad. That's Hashem echad. Hashem is one, but we're convinced of it. And that can be our avayda. Our additional kavan, our additional thought. As we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem lekeinu, Hashem God. It's really the one. Not just something I do on the outside, express on the outside, say on the outside, act on the outside. Shem Echad. Through and through. All the way through. That's the idea. We've been talking over these weeks about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The first piece we spoke about the Kavanah Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad was single-mindedness. That the person's committing himself, that all he's interested in is sanctifying Hashem's name. And everything else that we do, it's all going to be somehow, we're going to bring it all towards a greater purpose, a greater good. Okay, we're not like, if you remember the Keser Tyra person that we talked about there, where the only thing he pursued in life was Tyra, nothing else. We pursue other things, but we're going to make them into all a means to the end. Hashem Echad, Hashem, you're the one that ultimately it's all focused towards. It's a big part of the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, where when we die, and Hashem is worrying about our health and our wealth and our families and so on and so forth, we just daven, Hashem, we want your world to be filled with your kingdom. Everything that you do for us, we ask l'mancha l'kimcha, for your sake. We want to streamline everything towards your Rabbeinu Shalom. Then we talked about Hashem Echad, that we recognize that really, the power behind everything is the Rabbeinu Shalom. The power behind everything is Rosh Hashanah. We make our efforts, we do things, but the power behind everything that makes it or breaks it is the Rabbeinu Shalom, the one and only true power in the world. And then last week we spoke about Hashem Echad, seeing the essence of Hashem. Don't just see the different things which Hashem does in the world, the good, the bad, the brachos, the klolos. Just direct us again in Avodah Rosh Hashanah, Lifnim, directly to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are things to think about when we say Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. There are things to have as a kavana when we marich the Echad. When we say Echad, and we say it long, right? We're supposed to think these thoughts. And last, what we learned tonight, which is the definition of tshuva. The definition of tshuva is levavecha. Levavecha is your heart. It's not just your action. It's your interest. It's your desire. It's from the outside, inside, the inside, outside. Pivali b'shavim. What we say, we mean. And even if we're still a little bit behind, but what we say, we're saying with the sincerity of one who wants to feel completely. This is the kavana. This is the direction. This is the direction. Rav Huttner, it's a beautiful maimer on Rosh Hashanah, where he says that when you look at all the brachas of Shemona Esrei, right, you say Hashem is chayin adas, he grants wisdom, right, he's marvelous loyach, he's gracious, and he gives forgiveness, right, he heals the sick, he redeems the people, he builds Yerushalayim, he does. There's one bracha which is different than the rest. What's that? Blessed Hashem, who's right of the tshuva. Right now, I would have said that the translation of right of the tshuva is that he accepts tshuva, that he's appeased with tshuva, he's merutza with tshuva. Rav Huttner translates it in a certain sense more literally, and he says right of the tshuva is that he wants tshuva. He wants tshuva. He says vasepis. Why does he say it? And he accepts tshuva, it's right that the tshuva wants tshuva. He says, because tshuva is all about want. Tshuva is all about what you want. How does tshuva work? Tshuva works that you say, you know something? Last week I did this, but today I regret it. So know what happened? Akiras haratzon is kakiras hamaisa. If you say now, I didn't want it, or I don't want it, I wish it wasn't there, then it's as if it isn't there. Which means what? In the positive sense, that an action, which was a negative action, that you can now say, it was just an action. I didn't really want it. It's not significant. The whole essence of tshuva is the focus on ratzon. Kiras haratzayim, kakiras hamaisa, that's the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. Uprooting the desire is like uprooting the action. Says Rav Huttner, tshuva is all about what you want. What you wanted. Baruch at Hashem, haraitza the tshuva. Speak about Hashem wanting tshuva. It's all about what you want. You want things in here. You want things in the life. That's where it is. Tshuva is the idea that for it to be something, it can't just be the outside, it has to be the inside. We get rid of the averis by taking away the inside of those averis. Right? By taking away the interest, by the regret we feel about the avera, it takes away the guts of the avera. So that the avera withers away and dies and it doesn't exist anymore. Let our tshuva be driven from the lave so that it is also not just the shell. Let it be driven by the lave, by the desire, by the interest, by the rights, by what we want. So we will have the harmony, the inner unity of Echad, and the strength of Piva Veliva Shavim, of doing and saying what is truly, truly the positive feelings of our heart. As Hashem, next week's Parsha is Rosh Hashanah. Next week's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, the Shir next week, and also the week after, even though that is a Parsha of Hazinu, will be dedicated to the tefillos. We're going to talk about the machzor, the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah next week, and Bezras Hashem the week following, the tefillos of Yom Kippur.